Kemp, from bartending to the U.S. Army to nightclub musician to pilot and farmer, John Starnes is here today.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
I've loved his voice since I first heard it, and I was watching these videos and hearing recordings of John Starnes even as a kid. And I don't want to make him feel old, but my grandparents said this guy can sing, and then find out that we're from the same part of the country, and I'll find out if this is all true, but both being Georgia, at least raised for a good part of our lives. So, John, it's good to have you. Good to talk to you. And we've never formally met, but I've been a big fan of yours.
Well, thank you very much. And thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. And yes, you're right. I did grow up in the Atlanta area and stayed there till I was about 27 and then moved away. And now I've been living in Nashville. I spent a while in Baton Rouge, Louisiana for about 13 and a half years. And now I've been up here since around 92, something like that. I lose track.
Now, were you born and raised in the Atlanta area, or did you have a connection? Was it Vienna, Georgia at one point?
No. I was born in Emory Hospital back when it was Emory, Georgia.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a trivia that'll win you something. but that's what it says on my birth certificate, is I was born in Emory, Georgia.
Great.
And for those in the Atlanta area, they would know well where that is, Premier Hospital.
Hmm.
I saw a wayward traveler in tattered garments clad, struggling up the mountain. It seemed that he was sad. His back was laden heavy, his strength was almost gone. Yet he shouted as he journeyed, deliverance will come. Shining, the sweat was on his brow, his garments worn and dusty, his steps seemed mighty slow, but he kept pressing onward, for he was going home, still shouting as he
tell me about back in the beginning, and it has to start with all of us. In the beginning, there was a mom and dad who had a bright young baby boy. So you were born and raised in the Atlanta, Georgia area. Tell me about your earliest memories of music and how this journey started for you as a vocalist.
Wow. I don't remember really desiring as a young kid to be involved in music, although I do remember being really, really motivated or inspired by music that I would hear, I used to sit, and as strange as it sounds, I would direct a song called Hall of the Mountain King. It's a symphonic piece, orchestrated piece. I don't know if it was where it's from. I don't know the background of it, but it was, it just really moved me. And I would sit there and in the mirror, and I'd take a pencil and I would try to direct it. And that was probably around 6 years old to 10, somewhere in there, or less than that. My mom died when I was 9. And so that kind of changed things in my life a lot and, you know, set me on different courses. But I didn't actually start singing until I was a senior in high school. I was dating a girl at the time, and she had another friend who had a band, and their lead singer got sick, and they had a big gig in their garage. And so and she knew that I used to sing all the time, but I wasn't aware that I did. And so she said, you know, so that kind of started it, and that's what got it started.
Now, at some point, if my memory serves correctly, Underground Atlanta was part of this. That was a vibrant music scene, and well, for the arts in general, right?
Oh, yeah. And it was pretty much, you know, rock and roll cover bands. Leonard Skinner was there. But what happened is on the timeline, I graduated from high school, went to University of Georgia for 1 year where I majored in beer and really didn't do very well. And that was before I had made any kind of commitment to God. And I ended up going then into the Army for 2 years. And it was during the last part of the Army that I got a guitar from a fellow and started learning to play the guitar and then singing. And then I started singing in the NCO club and things like that. And I didn't think much of it. It was just, you know, I was invited and I did it. But I wasn't looking at making a career out of it. And then I ran across a fellow who was from Atlanta in the Army. And he was getting ready to get out, and he knew the guys, some guys that we got together and formed a band and played in Underground Atlanta. And I did that for about 7 years after I got out of the Army. I was a professional musician. That's how I made my livelihood.
Wow.
Yeah.
John Starnes is with us. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends and remembering some of these great songs that still live strongly today as we catch up with John. And John, you've talked about some of your early times, even Underground Atlanta and this scene out of college. So you said about 7 years you were a professional musician there on the Atlanta scene. Is that right?
That's right. About 7 years. And didn't really know what I was going to be doing with my life and, you know, if I ever found a real job or not.
Yeah.
That was always so. While I was doing that 7 years of rock and roll, I got my pilot's license and with the GI Bill, and got all my ratings, and that was what I was had my sights on. That was where my goals were, was to become a full time pilot and make a living out of flying.
So what happened next?
Well, it was actually, you know, here I was trying to do all of that, the flying and all. I end up working in several bars in Atlanta as a bartender, and which a lot of people find, you know, funny when they go, "Wow, really?" You know, I go, "Yeah, you know, I did." And I ended up getting tired of that scene, and I thought I had a flying job, and I quit the band I was in. I quit the bar because I knew this flying job was just going to come to fruition, and it didn't. It didn't make it. The guy, I think, was misrepresenting himself. And so here I was. I had quit everything, and I didn't have any work, any income. So I went to work on my brother-in-law's farm down in Noonan, Georgia. And I did that for about 6 months. And it was there that I had a lot of time to come to Jesus meetings just about every day. I had time to dry out. And and as a young 27-year-old, I kind of had a lot of time to think out there on the farm, building fences, running cows and stuff like that. So it was an interesting time. And I made a commitment. I just said, you know, I'm going to I want to fly, sing, and work for the Lord full time. I don't know how he's going to do that, but I said, God, that's, you know, you can do it. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you can.
Wow. What a colorful and varied past or stepping stones that would lead you into Christian music as we know you today. So, I mean, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, and as a young guy, you always, you know, you're always striving to be, you know, for that place, that prominence, that respect. So what were you thinking through all these transitions?
Well, I wasn't thinking at all, I guess, in my earlier 20s. I was merely reacting. You know, it was whatever would come my way. I was leading that reactive life. You know, if you don't have any plans, you're sure to make that, you know, to get there.
Yeah.
And when I was on the farm, that's when I did make a plan. I had one of those epiphanies, one of those moments that, you know, many of us can look back to, where I literally stood up on a tractor one day out in the middle of a field, and I just I dedicated my life to God, and I said, "Here, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to give you everything I have." And that's what I did. And then right after that, I ended up moving back to Atlanta, joined a church, and where I met my wife. We've been married now for 35 years last November.
Wow.
And so it was a wonderful, not an immediate change, but really pretty quickly, when you look on the timeline, there's a lot that happened in that period of time in 1978.
John Starnes, and you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
Holy, 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 Lord. Oh,
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, today visiting with John Starnes. I love this guy's voice, classic voice in all of Christian music.
As I walked through the door, I sensed his presence, and I knew this was a place where God abounds. For this is the temple Jehovah God abides here. And we are standing in his presence on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground. And I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in his presence on holy ground. In his presence there is joy beyond all measure. And at his feet, peace of mind can still be found. So if you have a need, I know God has the answer.
This is Daniel Britton, friends. We're talking today to John Starnes. And so, John, we're talking about this moment you had. You said out in the field on the farm and kind of an epiphany moment. But give us a kind of a faith background. I know you said your mom passed away when you were nine, and we've heard about the kind of the variety of stuff you dabbled in and did between college and where we're at now in our discussion. But the faith background, so did you have grandparents? Do you have parents that were involved with church or were believers? So I guess I'm trying to find out what was your answer to who do you say Jesus is throughout these early years?
Good question. I was raised by a family that attended church regularly. I think we were probably at that time, and I wouldn't want to offend my dad, who's still living, and he's 93, and or any of my family or my deceased mom, but we were what I would call, what I remember, coffee table Christians. In other words, our Bible pretty well stayed on the coffee table. Mm-hmm. But we were very regular church attenders. So I got to hear a lot and, you know, hear a lot of sermons. Church was a part of me growing up, but I don't know how much a part of my heart it was. You know, it had me, I don't know if I had it. And it was, I was, when I turned, I think a teenager, I kind of rebelled like a lot of teenagers do. And I just said, I don't want this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's not real. I don't know what this is. And so I got into the Baha'i faith, transcendental meditation, Eastern religions, all trying to find some kind of a solace and, you know, something to ease my heart. And it was a very strange time.
So at what point did you get, and I'm assuming, you know, you usually hear, I got a call, or somebody knew somebody and they recommended me to audition or something like that. What was the moment of transition for you back into music and then more specifically into a you know, Christian music, faith music?
Well, when I got back to Atlanta off the farm and I moved back, joined the church, that was a real turnaround for me for faith, because I got involved in everything that the church had. If the door was open, basically I was there. So it was a great church, still is, in Atlanta, Mount Perrin Church of God. Mm. And I had never, you know, here I was growing up as a Methodist, so I didn't know anything about any other way to have church. And these guys had wonderful music and music that touched your heart. And that was what I was used to. So what I ended up doing was I ended up going to church every time the door was open and making commitments to just do what I could. I went to a Full Gospel Businessmen's breakfast, I think it was. And the man asked, he said, "What? Who needs a job in here?" And I raised my hand because I had quit everything I had and quit the farm and needed a job. And so what happened was, the fella keyed in on me and he said, "What do you want? What do you want?" And I'd never thought of it that way. I thought when you came to God, you ask him what his will was and you did what he wanted. And he was turning it around on me and I'd never really thought. So driving home that day, I remember where I was on 285, crossing over the Chattahoochee on the north part of 285. Yeah. And I prayed and I said, "God, I want to sing, I want to fly, and I want to work full time for you." When I got to the place I was living off of Peachtree Industrial, I got a phone call from Donnie Swaggart and wanted to know if I would come to Greenville, South Carolina that weekend and audition.
Wow. Some people shy away from talking about this, especially in public forums, because there is a part of the discussion of Christian denominations, or more way I like to call it, different styles of worship, is a negative thing. And there can be that. But I like to look at how, you know, each part of the body of Christ brings something different. And we may have some disagreements, but boy, we're a colorful bunch when we all come together.
And oh, without a doubt.
And you said you had some Methodist background, and then you've got the Church of God. You know, to see how all of this, even just this form, the person and the singer, the musician you are, so I guess my question is, these church backgrounds, did it play an important part in you as an artist?
Oh, I think without a doubt, because as it turned out, it seems as if, and we'll find out, you know, one day, 100 years from now, but it seems as if my calling was to the people of the church, not the denomination. So I didn't stay in the Baptist churches. I didn't stay in Church of God or Assemblies of God. I went all over the map as far as denominations. And it was always interesting because when I got into a church to do a concert, there would be all types of visitors there, and the church would lose its local identity, and it would take on this eclectic mix. And that threw me for a long time because I didn't understand it. I was expecting it to be, you know, one way, and then it was different. And I had to learn to communicate. How do you learn to communicate to people that are of not of your ilk, not of your your camp? And it really helped when I ended up going overseas and traveling around, because there, you know, Baptist here in the United States, Baptist over, you know, in Rwanda, two different things completely. And or pick any flavor, pick any denomination.
Sure.
And I remember I was in Africa once and at a crusade, and you being involved in music will understand this, and many of your listeners will. The music that these locals were playing was so phenomenal. I mean, it was unlike anything I had ever heard. And I couldn't find the one. I couldn't find how to count this thing out. It was just so so awesome, but complicated. And yet it was great, and it touched my heart. And it hit me there. I had one of those epiphanies where I went, how dare I think that I have some kind of a concept or a control or a corner on the market of Christian music? Because it is so broad. There's so many different people in this world that see things so differently. I'm just so glad that I stayed with the idea of heart music. And that's what I've always cared for.
Feel down and feel like God has somehow forgotten that you are faced with circumstances you can't go through. And right now it seems like there's no way out. You're going under, but God's proven time and time again, He'll take care of you. Take one look at where you are now and where you've been. Hasn't He always come through for you? Well, He's the same God as then. You may not know how, you may not know when He'll do. That you're going through, He knows how you're hurting. You see, He knows just how your heart has been broken into. But He's the God of the stars, the sun, and the sea. And He is your Father, and He'll calm your storms. He'll find some way to fix this for you. Where you are now and where you've been.
John Starn. I loved getting to know this guy and hearing his stories and hearing the music, frankly. What a classic voice we have here to cherish. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. My soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to his temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, visiting today with John Starnes, and we have talked about the part where you were in Atlanta, you were praying for a job, and the phone rang, and it was the Swaggart Ministries team, right? I mean, and so this started an opportunity that probably, I'm going to guess, I'm going to put words in your mouth here, and then you sort them out here in a second, that you were like maybe wanting to do something with music, wanting a job, but this was a little bit not traditional. This was not your average, I'm going to be a recording artist, get a big bus and travel the country and do tours. This was a totally different way of applying your skills as a professional musician and combining that with ministry.
Exactly. You did hit it, did very well. you hit it. I was, my mindset and my heart's desire was not to sing because, you know, I've got ears and I've got, I can listen to recordings. And when I would hear myself, I would go, oh, yuck, you know, who would want to hear that? And who would want to listen to that? So I never have thought much of my own gifts, which, you know, I don't want to insult the Lord on that, but that's just the honest truth. I listen to myself, and it's very difficult for me in a studio to do that because I would much rather I sounded like someone else. But when I got there, Jimmy told me that Sunday afternoon, he said, we'd like to hire you as a backup singer. He said, I know you're a pilot, but we're not going to hire you as a pilot because you don't have enough experience. I had all my ratings, commercial multi-engine, and I had about 500 hours. And he said, you don't have enough experience. I said, well, that's cool because I really felt it was something I wanted to do. I thought it was a good thing. Backup singer, these big crusades, it was a lot of energy, and I was used to a lot of energy in my singing, you know, in the nightclubs and stuff. And so I said, yeah, sure. Well, the next day I got a call. Their co-pilot had quit, and they needed somebody to fill in. And the qualifications for the person to fill in was a commercial instrument multi-engine rating with a minimum of 500 hours.
Wow.
So it was kind of a neat thing that then I was, in my mind, flying was why I was there. That was in my mind. And then I was, singing backup. That's all I was doing. So, and it was all the courses that I learned at Mount Perrin. And I would always sing. I was in the tenors section, of course. And I would always sing almost like an alto part, just a real. And that was the part they actually needed, which I thought was funny. So I said, well, God has prepared a way for me to be a pilot.
Wow.
And then probably about the second or third crusade, we had, we were rehearsing for a song. And it needed a high tenor part. And one of the guys said in the band said, you know, ask the new guy, he can do it. And that was me. And I did it. And they were like, wow, this will work. And not that it didn't blow them away that it was good, but it was just, I could hit the part. And that night though, at the crusade, it was electric. And, it was a hit, so to speak. And so then I started doing solos, and, rest, as we shall say, was history.
And we love it. It is John Starnes right now on Daniel Britt and Friends.
There is a name I love to whisper. Any time of day or night, and oh, the peace that accompanies its mention, no tongue can tell, no pen can write. Whisper, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. Heaven's peace will flood your soul. Would praise him.
Jesus. Heaven's peace will flood your soul.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends today, visiting with our friend John Starnes and hearing some classic Christian music from John.
Oh, I'm gonna take a trip on that good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm gonna shout and sing while all of the heavens ring as I go bidding. Oh, I'm bidding this world goodbye. I'm gonna take a trip in that good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. Oh, I'm gonna shout and sing until all the heavens ring, and I'm bidding this world goodbye.
I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling.
Celestial shore. Don't you weep
for me
when I'm gone.
Oh,
I won't have to leave here alone. For when I hear that last trumpet sound, well, my feet won't stay on the ground. I'm gonna rise with my Lord, gonna fly. I'm gonna ride with my Lord through the sky. Heaven is near, and I can stay here. Trumpet sound. You see, my feet won't stay on the ground. I'm gonna rise with my Lord, gonna fly. I'm gonna ride with my Lord through the sky. Heaven is near, and I can stay here. Goodbye, world, goodbye. Goodbye.
You know, I love hearing this, and this is a major stereotype here, but typically when you talk to artists, you think of the ultra creative, they fly by the seat of their pants, they don't follow anybody else's drum beat, they're out making music. And then to hear you've got the discipline and the analysis to, you know all the aircraft ins and outs of flying, you know, you can't just wing it when you're flying a plane. So to have this wrapped into one person, John Starnes, a disciplined airline pilot, but then a high energy vocalist all in one. Did you ever surprise people?
Oh yeah. Oftentimes, especially when I would go to, little smaller churches, out and about, and they look at me, you know, I'm not svelte. I don't look like Brad Pitt. And, so I wanted to, I mean, I use his picture on my posters, so they expect it. But when I would get up and sing, people would say, you know, you don't sound like you look, you know, or you don't look like you sound. And, so I always thought that was interesting, but, I think that probably one of my greatest gifts is the ability to flow, because I don't get – people say, do you get nervous? And I say, well, not really. I really don't get nervous as long as I know the material. You know, it's not the size of the crowd. That doesn't really bother me. If I'm trying to impress someone, which occasionally through my career I've tried to do, you know, wrongly, you know, that's when you get nervous, when you're trying to impress somebody. But if you're just going to go up and be who you are and do what you do, you know, I mean, it's like walking. You know, if I get out of a chair, I don't get nervous to walk across a room because I'm going to walk like I walk. But if I try to walk like somebody else, I may.
John Starnes, you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
See my Jesus on the cross. The people crying. Looking on, a man would think that's such a tragedy. But what the world could not see was when they nailed him to that tree. It broke the chains of sin and set men free.
danced on.
His power,
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 wonder-working power,
oh,
in the blood of the Lamb.
Oh,
there is power,
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 wonder-working power, in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power,
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 wonder-working
power,
power, in the blood of the Lamb.
Featuring John Starnes, you are listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. We've come to the part in the program where we've run out of time. So we're going to put a bookmark here and come back. John's life is a full life. I mean, this guy has so many stories and is so interesting, and a lot of good music, too, that we want to hold on to. So we're going to come back and next time have the conclusion, part two, with John Starnes. I look forward to seeing you back here. Same time, same place.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.